AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. AgriTalk is brought to you by Simplot Grower Solutions, a partner you can grow with. Learn more at SimplotGrowerSolutions.com. That was a breakaway move in the corn market. Beans are working on getting back in the game. And, you know, it sure looks like wheat got its swagger back. Heck, even cotton decided to keep yesterday's price recovery rolling. Cattle closed lower for a fifth consecutive session, but hogs recovered from early week pressure.
Live from a warmer shade of chill via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Chris Barron of AgView Solutions. And right after the news, Todd Bubba Horowitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
I don't know if this is a warmer side of gray or not. I mean, each day that the calendar goes, that we make our way down the calendar, I think 50 degrees feels colder.
Oh, you're taking a sort of a relativist stance on this.
Yeah.
As though it should be, like 0.3 degrees warmer today than yesterday, technically.
Right.
And yet here we are in this sideways sort of temperature range,
right,
you might call
it. And it only feels colder.
I think that makes a lot of sense, actually.
I might be a good example of a corn seed and how it might feel if it's sitting out there in those cool, dry conditions that Hamer described this morning.
Yes.
Did you hear that? I loved
yes.
it. He says, well, I looked at the tag and it said store it in a cool, dry place. So I planted it.
I hope it works. I'm not sure that's the spirit of the label.
Yeah, I don't know either. Good luck, Ted.
No
Appreciate
expert.
It.
Yes, we wish you the best.
Fantastic. Big move in corn, dude. Big mm-hmm. move.
Do we know why? Just because? It
well,
was time? It was due?
We'll talk with Chris Barron about it, but I would say... I think it's Brazil. I think it's Safrina. You think about it. Let's just round here, but 1 million metric tons is about 40 million bushels. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
If you lose 5 million ton off of that crop that's supposed to be 109, it takes it down to 104, and everybody kind of goes, it's not really that big of a deal until you mm-hmm. realize that it's 200 million bushels of corn. And that's 200 million bushels of corn that the globe is relying on. Now mm-hmm. take another 2 million off of that, and we're talking to 3. You don't have to go back that far to a time when we all said, wow, we just lost 350 million bushels of corn off the Brazilian supply, and it changed mm-hmm. our world.
Right.
So that kind of stuff happens. That kind of stuff happens. Mm-hmm. All right, man, let's get to it. What you got in the closing markets?
Well, Chip, corn and soybean prices helped to pull wheat prices higher today. Crop watchers, however, are pointing to dry conditions in the U.S. hard red winter wheat belt, spring wheat, and Canadian prairies as the source of support for wheat prices. Reports that China is dealing with a severe outbreak of stripe rust added price support. July soft red wheat prices shot higher to test momentum at the March high of 657.5. Buying interest slowed at that level, allowing wheat prices to back off from session highs. Still, today's close was the first above 650 since March 3rd in new crop soft red winter wheat. July, hard red winter wheat, 18.75 cents higher, 611.5. July, soft red jumped 16.75 cents to 650.25. September, spring wheat scampered 12.25 cents higher to 673.5. Chip.
Okay, I realize I should say something smart about the markets and the wheat market in particular right now, but I got to ask.
That'd be great.
Did you turn the bass up on the wheat music?
Just a little. Just put a little.
I could tell.
Little
nice
thump
touch.
In the trunk. Yeah, yeah.
Nice touch.
Thank you. Ethanol production in the weekend at April 9 slowed to 941,000 barrels per day, down 34,000 from the previous week. Ethanol stocks shrank another 124,000 barrels. Shrank? Shrunk? Shrink? shrunk. 124,000 barrels down, blunting the impact of the production slowdown, adding fundamental support to the rally or risks to the suffering corn crop in Brazil, which could increase export demand for U.S. corn in the current marketing year. Technically, old and new crop corn futures posted new contract highs. May corn posted not only its first close above 580, the contract also blew through resistance at 590. December corn saw the price advance accelerate with the first close above 510. May corn futures 14 cents higher, 594. July jumped 13 cents, 579 and a half. December corn closed at 511 and a quarter, up 7 cents. Con mucho gusto, amigo.
You bet. I think it's something to do with the Safrinha crop and the odds that we will continue to ship corn from the U.S. as long as there's concern about the South American supply.
Well, soybean futures pulled support from higher soybean meal and bean oil prices.
Yeah.
November bean futures climbed back on top of the March 31 close, suggesting the bean market has re-engaged in the effort to pull some acres from alternative crops. Early support for bean prices was pulled from the restarted price rally in Dalian soybean futures. Higher prices in China ups the odds that country will take delivery of the beans already purchased from the United States. May bean futures 20.5 cents higher, 14.10. July beans surged 17.5, 14.02 and a quarter. Novi bean futures closed at 12.64, up 12 and three quarter cents. Chip, a hat trick in the major grains today.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I would say that even with these price gains that we've got in the bean market today, that the market is still underperforming compared to corn. It really is. Let's just wrap up the crops here. May cotton 235 points higher at 84.17. December cotton up 121 at 82.67. Thanks, Davis. Let's bring in Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, Bubba?
What's up, Chip? How you doing, brother?
Blue side, baby, blue side.
Hey, we're going to be blue for a while here, I think. I think you got lots of good things in the offing. And again, you mentioned a little bit about weather. And, of course, we know what weather can do to prices. So, to me, until proven otherwise, full steam ahead.
Talk to me about momentum and what it does to the funds that are in this market, these markets.
Well, I mean, listen, momentum draws in more money. Okay, right or wrong, momentum draws in more capital. And, you know, more capital means higher prices. And when you get them going, you know, listen, money chases money. We've seen it. We've watched it for years. And it's the same in the grain market. Of course, you know, the commodities themselves are the greatest alternative area where money runs to anyways when it's looking for more homes to start placing. And as long as this money remains cheap, they're going to be looking for places. You can only go with equities for so long. You needed to diversify. And, you know, the trending markets of the grains now that people are finally convinced after, you know, such a big up move. Yeah, yeah. You get them chasing in here, which I think will be coming around the corner, especially if this continues at the current pace, which I think it will.
Yeah. You know, this corn market almost feels like it's starting another leg to the upside, don't you think?
I think so. I think we're gonna fix that backwardation as well, which I think is forthcoming too. So I think, again, if you look at all the factors, and I'm not a big fundamental guy,
yep,
but if you look at all the factors of the weather around the world, you look at the economy opening up, you look at where we drained a lot of our supplies that we had. Certainly, almost anything can push these higher, and then you put momentum behind it, you could see dramatically higher prices.
Bubba, it's always good. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate you.
All right.
Have a good one.
Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. We are going to talk with Chris Barron. Looking forward to this. You might already know that Poet produces 2 billion gallons of bioethanol and 5 million tons of high-protein Dakota Gold animal feed each year. But did you also know that Poet uses the same process to produce a suite of other bioproducts, like purified alcohol for cosmetics and sanitizing products, renewable CO2, and oil for renewable diesel? The market for green products made from crops harvested right here in the Midwest is growing at an unprecedented rate, and that means even more reliable domestic demand for your grain. Farmers aren't just feeding and fueling the world. They are growing sustainable solutions that protect the environment and preserve our way of life for future generations. POET believes in the power of agriculture to meet the world's most pressing needs. Learn more at poet.com/products.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
We're going to be talking with Chris Barron from AgView Solutions right here on AgriTalk. But before we that, Davis,
yeah?
Tell me about cows and pigs.
Sure thing. Well, the cows, long liquidation and profit-taking continued to cap price gains in live cow futures. June live cattle 87.5 lower 120.05. October cattle fell 65 cents to 123.85. May feeder cows dropped $1.90 to 145.42.5 on pressure from higher corn prices. Strong pork demand and slowing pig slaughter helped lean pig futures. May lean hogs up 165 to 106.57.5, and June piggies jumped 152.5 to 107.70 chip.
See, that's commitment. That's commitment. Mm-hmm. Once you started, you stuck with it. That's what makes stuff like that funny.
I'm
good
here
work,
for you,
Davis.
I'm here for you. Just light the fuse, baby. Light the fuse and shield your eyes.
Love it. Love it. All right. Thanks, man. Let's bring in Chris Barron, AgView Solutions. Chris, my friend, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Doing great. How are you today, Chip? How's Davis?
Doing just fine. Yeah.
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking, Chris. Thanks for noticing I'm here.
Well, good.
Yes.
Good deal.
You know, you had Hamer on to talk to you this morning. I mean, all kinds of people are talking to you today, Davis.
I know. Is it my birthday and I didn't notice? I don't think so.
Well, I think you're taller.
I feel taller. It's funny you mentioned that. I got up this morning and I was like, this mirror is lower today. Something's Chris, you ever get that? Is it me?
I was just hoping for your wisdom today. We're talking inputs here in a little bit, so that's
okay. All right.
Yep, that's right. We are going to cover some inputs. We got to if we're going to be talking about out into the 22 crop year. So Davis, stay tuned and maybe pay attention today. I don't know, might, you know, just thought. Okay, let's get to it. Chris, we got to talk current conditions. I felt like we were going to get a running start on this year's planting season, and it feels like it's gotten away from us, that running start isn't going to be there.
It's kind of what it feels like. You don't have to stand outside very long in the wind, and it feels awful cold. I know we stuck about 30 acres of beans in last week, I think on Tuesday, when the temperatures were in the, you know, in the high 70s or whatever it was for, you know, a few days in a row there just to get stuff working. I don't know, maybe we should have put a few more in at that time. It looks like with the way the forecast is, almost all the clients we've talked to, a lot of people have basically pushed the pause button and are going to kind of sit on your hands and watch the forecast and then let the forecast dictate. And obviously some areas got a fair amount of rain. We kind of missed the rain in our area. We did get a little bit last week, but we're dry enough to plant if it was warm enough. And but I don't know, I think we can punch a lot of seed in the ground really fast. And so not too concerned about it yet at this point, but we get another full week into this, we're going to need to be able to get rolling for sure.
Yeah. You know, you make a good point, because if it was wet everywhere, my level of concern would be higher than what it is with the cool temperatures that we've got. But it doesn't take a complete pattern change to really ramp this planting pace up in a hurry. All we need to do is see some warmer temperatures than the sunshine, for criminy sakes. I mean, we get 10 or 15 minutes of the sun a day is what it feels like, and that's about it right now.
Yeah, it's time. We're ready. I think everybody's as ready can be, for sure. So,
yep. Has that had an impact on how guys are looking at marketing their 21 crop?
You know, I don't think it's affected people Good. Too much yet. You know, I think a lot of people feel like they've sold too much. Again, similar to what happened last year, you know, when you have a market like this that continues to go up, every sale you make, you feel like you wish you wouldn't have done it. But on the same token, I think we need to stay, you know, current on marketing and not let some of this stuff go as these opportunities continue to present themselves.
Right. Right. Yeah, we just can't get too far away from it. Okay, so before we start talking about some other specific issues out there, I got to know. I mean, you're back to managing profits instead of managing losses, Chris, for yourself and for your clients. I mean, that's a major shift in attitude.
It's massive, you know, and the insurance level that we were able to all buy this year was huge. It should be giving us the confidence to make some sales or, you know, be putting a floor in on this market and everything with where we're at. You know, we've got our tool profit manager. For a long time there, we were having to call it least loss manager because we were trying to figure out which crop was going to lose us, you know, the least amount. Now, fortunately, we've got profitability in every area. We are seeing some of these input prices go up, and we can talk about that too. But there's a need for understanding that cost of production is a moving target, though, as well. So we do have got to kind of stay on that.
Yep. Yeah. So before we talk about crop mix and the potential to maybe change things up a little bit, the prospective plantings report, did that line up with what your clients were indicating to you as far as their crop mix plans for this year?
Pretty much, I think that we just didn't see a lot of people making a lot of changes. You know, we have a few operations in Iowa with a few more beans. Is kind of what we've seen. Some of that's due to the derecho. In other operations, though, we just haven't seen a big shift. When we look at profitability between corn versus soybeans, it's very equal. We just aren't seeing where there's a big advantage one way or the other. So we've just seen a lot of people pretty much sticking with their program and not a big change. We're seeing a little bit more corn maybe and possibly in the Dakotas and stuff, but it's going to depend. I mean, they're pretty dry up there and they're going to need some rains and stuff too. So, I mean, there's still some stuff up in the air yet. I mean, we got to warm up like we were just talking about. Yep. And, you know, when the planters get rolling, and we'll stick a lot of corn in the ground, but, you know, the calendar is going to have a lot to do with it. And there's a lot of operations that do have some flexibility yet too, that, you know, just because their mind's made up doesn't necessarily mean their mind's made up.
Right. Right. You know, we keep hearing that beans could take another couple million acres of plantings and it wouldn't really change the outlook that much. Corn, you could add another million acres and it wouldn't change the outlook that much. Adding 3 million to the combined total for corn and soybeans feels like a stretch. It just feels like something. Well,
I don't know where you're going to get it from. Where are you going to get it?
Yeah.
From?
Yeah. I mean, you got to go to the edges to get it, Chris. And I don't know if there's enough flexibility on the edges of the belt to make that happen.
No, and in the South, there's, you know, the cotton is kind of fixed itself a little bit too. I mean, that's a factor. We've seen some shift to some beans in the South, but not near what I thought we would see earlier on. I think I'd mentioned that the last time I was on, but we're not seeing near the shift of the soybeans I thought we would in the South. And then in the North, like I said, I think most of those guys are geared up to plant corn because they, you know, North Dakota and South Dakota, where they had all that prevent plant, they got tillage done and everything, and they got fertility, you know, their fertility set up and everything. They're really set up for corn. So I think, you know, as long as they can get in and plant corn and we warm up, even if it is dry, I mean, sometimes they plant in dry conditions up there and they'll grow one heck of a crop. So I'm not sure where these bean acres are going to come from.
Right. And then, Chris, from a producer perspective, is the bean market underperforming compared to corn?
It is a little bit. I did run some numbers, though, and and just kind of looked at it again based on our average from our clients and from our database. And it's still really close. I mean, we're looking at about, you know, forecasting about a $95 to $97 an acre profit between the corn and beans, and they're just neck and neck on profitability. So with where current prices are at. And, you know, it's changed a little bit with the fertilizer, and we can get into that in a little bit too, but we've definitely, it depends on what growers have purchased too. If they've got all of their inputs locked in, then it's really close side by side. If they don't have all their inputs locked in, then it does, then it's, it almost leans toward beans. And you wouldn't think so when you're talking a corn bean ratio that, you know, that 2.25 or whatever, or just under a 2.5. You wouldn't think it would, but it's pretty close, the neck and neck.
Gotcha. Okay. That's a good start. I feel good about this because it sets the stage to talk about those input costs, any that might be remaining for 2021 production, looking at opportunities on 2022, and looking at profit management potential for 2022 crops. We've got a long ways to go with Chris Barron from AgView Solutions, right here on AgriTalk.
Farming in the 21st century requires data-driven technology and product decisions that are rooted in on-the-ground insights. At Simplot Grower Solutions, we're in your fields and by your side to help you grow yields and profits. Simplot is a pioneer and innovator in plant nutrition and agronomic science. Our local experts offer grounded advice to help you get the most out of every acre. Go to SimplotGrowerSolutions.com to see how we can be your one-stop resource. Simplot Grower Solutions, a partner you can grow with.
It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing today. Commercial grain exporters signal they expect China to follow through on its corn buys this marketing year. Brazil's corn-based ethanol production made big strides in 2020-21. Annex monthly soybean export outlook for Brazil climbs. Brazil will likely export 17.15 million metric tons of soybeans in April. With food prices climbing, Ukraine may restrict sun oil exports. China warns of military action against Taiwan on the eve of the U.S. visit. U.S. government to spend $352 per night on hotel beds for 80,000 migrant families. The housing market is hot in the U.S. and lumber prices are even hotter. China informs USDA of more ASF-infected pigs, and Chinese pork prices slide in latest reporting period. Try ProFarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Ever since I met you, girl, you've been on my brain. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip. Got Davis Michelson with me. We're talking to Chris Barron, AgView Solutions. Yes. Before we get back to talking about managing profits, let's get a recap of how the market's closed today.
Chip, July hard red winter wheat 18¾ cents higher, 6.11½. September spring wheat 12¼ cents higher, 6.73½. May corn futures 14 cents higher, 5.94. December corn closed at 5.11¼, up 7 cents. May soybean futures 20½ cents higher, 14.10. November bean futures closed at 12.64. That's up 12¾ on the day. May cotton 235 points higher, 84.17. On the livestock side, June live cattle 87½ cents lower, 120.05. May feeders down $1.90, 145.42½. And June lean hogs up $1.52½, 107.70. There's your quick market recap. Back to you.
Davis, that cattle market's got me just a touch concerned because it feels like maybe, or it looks like it has rolled over. Mm-hmm. Like I said, in the open, five consecutive lower closes in that June contract. It just, typically a downside correction or an upside correction, if the market is trending down, those corrections will come in either 3 days or 5 days. So if we're going to get, if we're going to put an end to the persistent pressure that we're seeing in that live cattle market, I'd sure like to see it come back in tomorrow. buy the dip that we're looking at in that live cattle trade and see if we can get some higher prices going into the end of the week.
Yeah, and we saw cash cattle trade hit 122 last week, and that was the whole thing, the premium the futures held to the cash market. Well, April, okay, 122.10 at the close today. June, 120. I mean, we're, let's see, we get out, it's not till October till we're back at that premium again in the futures.
Yeah, the dynamic has changed. There's no question. There is no question that the futures are not, at this point, after a five-day down, June futures are not reflecting the optimism that they were at the end of last week. So, All right. Good stuff. Thanks. Stay tuned because we're going to be talking some inputs here, Davis. Chris Barron, AgView Solution. Chris, I was looking at my notes and you talked about production cost being a moving target. I don't feel like you're talking about just 2022, you know, looking forward not to this crop year, but the next crop year. You're talking about for this crop year, right?
Yeah, definitely. What we're seeing is, and I'll just give you a couple of specifics, but what we've seen for a lot of the producers that maybe don't have all or as much of the fertility locked in that they wanted to, maybe some of the nitrogen, some of the P&K yet for some operations, you know, we're seeing about a 33 cent per bushel increase with where we've seen as a percentage as we've seen these fertilizer prices tick up, you know, from what we were originally calculating for what some of the prepays were. We've seen about a 40 to 45% price increase, which equals about a 33 cent per bushel price increase. You know, the insurance was up this year, you know, anywhere from, depending on what producers did, but anywhere from about 10 to 18 cents a bushel. And, you know, you look at the energy costs, fuel and machinery and equipment costs have gone up a little bit, and there's another 14 cents there. You add all that up, you know, we've got a few clients that are looking at maybe as much as a 70 cent cost of production increase yet in this year. You know, and that's figuring again, like, you know, you look at the energy costs, you know, we've seen LP go up, you know, maybe 20% or something. And I don't know, I mean, not everybody locked that stuff in either. And so I don't know, maybe Davis has some comments on that, but that's kind of what we're seeing is, you know, this, the, on the cost side of this equation, it is definitely a moving target, yet in this year. And we can get to 22 here in a minute, but that's really what we're seeing on the soybean side of things. We're seeing, you know, on the fertility side of things, about 11 cents a bushel. We're seeing, you know, insurance around that 7-8 cents a bushel, back to the equipment and fuel and energy there, 5 cents a bushel. You add all that up, you know, you're talking 25 cents a bushel pretty easily of a cost, or I'm sorry, the 77 cents was on soybeans. I was looking at the wrong sheet here. So disregard what I just said. The 77 cents is on soybeans. I don't know why I was looking at the wrong one.
77 cents on soybeans.
On corn, we're looking at 28 cents. When you add in the fertilizer, I was probably going to make Davis have a stroke there when I was saying that.
But anyway,
you're okay, aren't you, Davis?
So far. Go
okay,
easy.
Good.
So
what we're seeing, you add all that up, we're looking at about 77 cents of a potential increase in soybeans and about 28 cents on corn. And again, like I said, on the corn side of things, that LP and the energy costs and the nitrogen in particular are kind of the biggies.
Yep. Yeah, no question.
My concern, when you're talking about nitrogen, I'm actually pretty concerned about side dress. I'm looking at 28% in Illinois, up about $20 a week the last 2 weeks in a row. 32% up $12 this week in Iowa. You know, and anhydrous, of course, is, I don't know when this happened, but already pushing 700 in both the I states, Illinois and Iowa here. This doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. If we don't have product bought for side dress, man, this could get ugly because the upswing is still pretty aggressive.
Yeah. On the anhydrous side of things, it's pretty hard to get that bought unless you have storage. And that's kind of what we're seeing is that $700 number is factored into these equations I was talking about. And that's where that, you know, anywhere from 20 cents to 11 cents variability, depending on the producers, what they already have on and that kind of thing. But yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, that's why I think it's more important than ever this year when a person's pulling the trigger on sales and you're figuring in your, you know, our cost production. What we were looking at originally was a cost production of $388. And if you add in these additional expenses on corn, it's raised our average cost of production to $416 a bushel. So it does kind of change, you know, needs to adjust your marketing a little bit and at least understand what it's doing to your margin.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the conversation with your clients sound like about the 2022 market opportunities? Just as a baseline, I'll throw this out there. The DEIS 22 corn futures today closed at 472.5. It's not a bad market.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that's kind of what we saw in the soybeans. You know, I talked about both of them at kind of the same time as we look at crop rotations this year because they affect crop rotations next year. And so you're looking at 1146, you know, for that NOVE, I think, is about where we closed. And so, you know, you're looking at a very similar corn-soybean ratio to what we have for the 21 crop. So what we're seeing is when we go in and calculate these increased costs on a line-by-line item and the kind of the subjective ones that we are doing, we're using about a $10 of per acre land increase cost on average, and that's a swag a little bit because we're not exactly sure there, but we're using about $5 on cost of living increase on a per acre basis, and then we've gone through on all these other categories and just plugged in what we've seen for a real price increase. And what it's done to corn is it's increased our cost production on corn from the 2021 crop by 48 cents a bushel. Oof. On corn. So in other words, you know, when it went from that 388 to, you know, if we want to have the same type of profitability that we are having and enjoying in 2021, we would need a price of about 473 cash on farm. So, you know, if we're at that 472 on the board, you know, you got to consider basis and everything here. So, you know, we're a little ways away probably from most people being able to enjoy a similar profit to what they've had this year in 2022 with where we think these input costs are going. On the soybean side of things, we've seen a price increase using that same formula of about, we're right at $1.07 a bushel higher cost production. And to enjoy that same profit margin or ROI on the soybeans, we need about a $12.32. So the beans are definitely lagging on the 22 crop. We need definitely, when you ask the corn versus soybeans, the 22 crop's a little different deal. We need a higher price on the soybean side of things.
Chris, are you plugging in steady fertilizer prices year on year for that 22 crop?
Yeah, I'm using the current mm-hmm. price levels. That's okay. Not assuming any price increases from where we're at right now, which obviously that could occur, but I don't know what that is. So when we do it, we plug in what we know, and very few people are able to lock these in right now, and everybody's pretty hesitant to lock these things in. But if you lock something in, then you need to lock in on the pricing side of things to establish the margin objective you're looking for.
Yeah. if you're going to play that game, if you're going to play that margin game, which I am arguing we should be looking at, if you're going to play it all the way. Don't just lock in your inputs and decide, well, but the futures market and cash price is going to go up, so I'll just wait and lock that the second leg of the margin game in later. No, don't.
I mean, we have a lot of clients do a pretty good job of working with their, you know, their merchandiser or their grain marketing specialist and getting some things locked in and getting, you know, getting a floor in using some option strategies or whatever to get a floor in on some of this stuff and kind of protect the risk.
That's excellent. Excellent. Chris, it's good to catch up with you, buddy. We'll catch up with you again this summer. See how the crops are coming along, okay?
That'd be great. Look forward to it. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Chris Barron, AgView Solutions.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Got Davis with me. At Daring Tanner asked a question. It said, what do you use for a yield on your break-evens? National, state, and county yields. And does a person force personal APH or something more conservative just so that you are not under-prepared with a weather issue? From conversations that I've had with Chris in the past, APH is going to be a starting point on a lot of that, Tanner. Many will now argue that you, because of some of the yield advancements that we have seen in some operations, some will argue that you need to be very realistic about your yield expectations. If you're in one of those areas that got a little dry last year, but you were only 2% under your 4 or 5 year average, that you need to stay leaning to the upside on your revenue expectations and on your cost expectations and let that drive your marketing plan. Now, I might be a little more conservative and I might stick with an APH because then I know based on my revenue insurance how aggressive I can get in the marketing. And if you do have that catastrophe and your yield just doesn't happen, that you can fall back on an indemnity payment to make good with your elevator on any sales that you've made.
That makes sense.
Okay. Right. What do you think?
I agree. I was looking back at my first day of work at Pro Farmer.
Okay.
It
2012 was something.
July 2012. I think the 27th was my first day of work, but we had a complete week of data by that point. Anhydrous ammonia, $800.36 per short ton across the 12th
Street. And going higher.
Yes. Our nutrient composite index figured in at 855.30. And if we haven't talked about the nutrient composite in a while, it's sort of a basket. You know, it's a basket of the numbers. It's an index. Right. It wasn't until January 18 that we finally bottomed. But it was a long, slow downtrend. I'm just scrolling through my spreadsheet here, looking at the rest of 2012. Yeah, here's 831.12. We're at 812.75 on anhydrous. 373.34 regionally on 28%, 406 on 32%. I mean, it got ugly and it stayed there. I'm still scrolling here. Here's 859 anhydrous. Just ridiculous. 874. It's climbing and we're into 13 now.
Yeah, there scrolling, was some $1,000 anhydrous out there in locations.
Absolutely. Absolutely there was. So when Chris says, for 22, I'm figuring in steady inputs, on the basis that what we have now is what we know, I get that. But then there's also the idea that you've got to take action to sort of make that stick. And maybe you can help verbalize that better than I could.
Well,
but as far as your marketing plan goes, if that's what you're going to plan for, then you need to what?
You need to keep the target, that moving target that is your cost of production in sight. We talk about, people are going to start rolling their eyes. Don't turn the channel. But that cost of production is so important in understanding as you do put together your marketing plan that, you need to update your numbers at this time of the year for the 22 crop. You need to update it at least once a week. For the 21 crop, you better be at least thinking about it on a daily basis.
Yep.
Yep. You know, and I know Chris with his software would argue, why not just keep it in front of you all the time and let the price change tell you where you are in comparison to your cost of production.
Right, right. Because bear in mind that July 2012 number that I gave you at 800, and it increased, and it finally rolled over about a year later in July 13. That was after an uptrend.
Yep. Yep.
It could be fair and safe to say that we are July, let's see, 2011 now.
You could
headed
say
higher,
that.
Yep. You know, there's that to keep in mind.
But here's the deal. We always talk about how fertilizer costs and fertilizer prices are willing followers of corn on the way up, and then it gets sticky up there at the top, and mm-hmm. corn will start to fall back, but fertilizer will hold up there for a period of time. Right. I think we need to add not only willing but quick to that description this time.
Oh, sure. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
The reason that I'm saying that is because 416 is the price that they're working at on the 21 crop, 473 on the 22 crop. And a buddy of mine in Western Iowa texted me during the break and said, yeah, well, let's not forget that there's some upside pressure on rent too.
Yes. Yep.
So
a little support there as well.
Mm-hmm. We got to factor all of that in. So it's willing, it's quick, and that move to 473 for the 22 crop that Chris was talking about already. I mean, you want to talk about a way to limit your expansion of corn acres in the year ahead. Go to a $5 break even.
Yep.
That'll move acres away from corn in a hurry. Just something to keep in mind here, guys. Wow. Okay. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook, April 20th through the 24th. Below normal temperatures, below normal precipitation across most of the Corn Belt. 8 to 14 day. This is April 22 through the 28th. We've got the below normal temperatures sticking in. Below normal precipitation in the Western Corn Belt. Above normal precipitation in the Eastern Belt. So we're making that transition. Obviously, we will be keeping very close tabs of that. For Davis and producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, thanks for listening today. Jeff Cooper from RFS tomorrow. Maria Ziba from NPPC. And Missy Bauer right here on AgriTalk.